If you follow UPRN, we're on Twitch under UFO Paranormal Radio. And I think we're still on Periscope. I forgot to ask Joe. Speaking of Joe, I want to give a huge shout out to Joe Montaldo, the owner of UPRN. He is also our producer. He makes my job easy. I just get to sit and talk with my wonderful guest, who I will be introducing in just one second. He's also the host of many shows on UPRN. So if you've never been to the Angel Rock before, like I said, my name's Laura Lee Podvin. I'm a Canadian psychic medium, crystal Reiki energy healer, Akashic Records practitioner. I'm a spiritual teacher and mentor, and I'm also a nurse. And my show, I feature, I say, all aspects of the supernatural. I got to find a better word though, because we go anywhere from the paranormal to UFOs to power of positivity, the power of the mind, energy work, healing, you name it, we cover it on this show. And I always have guests on my show through the fantastic work that they're doing. They make a positive change for humanity. And this guest is no different. She's also a fellow Canadian. Her name, I'm going to picture, but I'm going to read her bio too. Her name is Rain L. I hope I say this right, Dalrymple. She's an intuitive visionary, a healer, as well as an author. And she shared her experiences, including angel miracles, in her book, Sight Beyond Sight. She also guides people in and through soulful experiences that help people in all aspects of life, gives the term soul work, which we're going to talk about tonight, a new meaning. So we're going to be talking about all this and much more. Welcome, Rain. I'm so glad to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me on this. It's really sticky out here. It started getting hot yesterday, and today the humidity has set in.
You know what? It's starting here because we were talking before the show, and you had said you were born in Northern Ontario. Where I live is in Northwestern Ontario. I'm right on the shores of Lake Superior. I'm in Thunder Bay. I don't know
Oh
if
my goodness.
you know. Now, why
I was right in Sault Ste. Marie for like
okay, so we're
15 years.
Okay, we're about 6.5 hours from Sault Ste. Marie because you can't go through the lakes. People don't understand this. Like, I live in New York. We're just right next to you. No, Toronto is about 20, 22 hours away by car. And a lot of people think it's North Bay. So,
They think you can just drive through, which you can't. You've got to go around the lakes.
So you said you were from Northern Ontario. So were you born in
Yeah.
this?
I was originally born in Sudbury and then lived in Northern Ontario for probably, I think I was about 5 when we moved to Southern Ontario and lived there until I was a teenager, then moved back up to Northern Ontario, raised my children there, and then when they were teens, moved back down to Southern Ontario. So it was a little bit of a yo-yo back and forth. So I've got family in both areas.
Okay, I always laugh when people say Northern Ontario was Sudbury because it's actually not that far from Toronto, right? It's about 4 hours, four,
Yeah,
five
yeah.
hours. Yeah.
And you're talking a pretty large gamut. I mean, you've got Sault Ste. Marie, you've got Timmins, Sudbury, Thunder Bay. I mean, Wawa, Wawa.
Oh,
Oh my
yeah.
goodness, that's so funny
Yeah.
that I thought of that little town.
Well, Wawa's actually in a movie with Sigourney Weaver and Alan Rickman. Have you ever seen it?
No.
It was filmed there, and I think it's called Snowflake or something, but Sigourney Weaver plays a woman under the autism spectrum as an adult. And it is actually a really, really good movie. I'm a
I'll
little
have to
partial.
look that up.
Yeah, I'm a little partial because my youngest, who is now an adult but still has severe autism, I saw that you worked almost in the developmental disability field. I was seeing your whole gamut because I had to go to your site to get your bio. That's where. So I apologize. I hope I did okay with it. Did I miss anything? I hope not.
Well, absolutely, anything goes, right? Well, that's the beauty about having worked in different fields, over 20, 30 years, you gain so many experiences. I mean, I started out as a cashier at a variety store, right? So, I mean, you got to start somewhere when you're 17, right? So,
That's right.
you've got all of those experiences that you have, getting to know people, gaining confidence, that sort of thing. Then, worked in retail for, probably about 4 years. And then had my children, so had my family and stayed home with them when they were young. and then went to school as an adult, actually, and went to university and got my degree. And then that sort of launched me into, during that time, I started working, I think it was just before that, actually, before I went into university, I started working in the school system. So working with at-risk children. And then, you know, that probably piqued my interest to want to, you know, help people further. And then went into university, started out as a psych major and thought, oh man, I can't sit behind a desk for 7-8 hours a day. This isn't going to work for me. Mm-hmm. So switched my major and did a minor in psychology. And so really, when you look at the number of years that followed, I worked with, you know, individuals with disabilities. So like you say, autism, bipolar, FASD, all of that. Went on to work with ex-offenders out of the provincial system. So writing programs, delivering them, teaching, fell in love with teaching at that point, right? It was totally divinely guided because I knew I did want to help, but I just didn't fully understand or grasp what that meant at the time when I said, that's what I'd like to do.
Okay, but let's back up a little bit, because when I was reading your bio, your abilities started as a child, but you said you actually didn't quite recognize them till late in your 20s, because I'm late to my abilities as well. I always knew.
Oh, okay.
I'd love to hear that.
Well, what happened was I had a traumatic experience when I was a child, and I don't go too much into the abuse. I want to respect, respect the people that were involved and, you know, all of that. But I did have, some experiences. And the first one that I had where I went out of my body, I was only 5 years old. So think of that. You know, you're 5 years old. You don't know what in the heck is going on. So my soul, I felt my soul lift off my body and up over my head and slip through the crack in between the kitchen and where I was. And when I slipped through that crack, I hovered in the kitchen. It was like I was in a bubble. I guess you could look at it that way. And so I couldn't hear anything. It felt, you know, when you're in a soundproof room, that's what it felt like. I was in this soundproof room. And I don't know how long I was there. I could have been there for, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, I guess. And then, I could see everything, but I couldn't hear anything. And then I slipped back into my body. Well, now fast forward, in my 20s, all of a sudden I started having visions, like I'd lay down to pray for the children at night, and I'd have just like a movie playing in front of me. Like I'd close my eyes and I'd see this movie playing in front of me. And then I'd open my eyes, you know, to try and like, what's going on? You know, I shake it off.
Am I losing my mind?
Yeah. And then I close my eyes and I'm right back at that same vision again, finishing it. So, you know, after, you know, that happens a few times, you start to realize this is something that's out of my control. This is something that is of God. It's divinely appointed. And so it was during that time frame, I believe, in my 20s, when these things were happening, that I started to realize, after I had the memories come to me in my 30s, started to realize that something unique had happened to me as a child when I had that out-of-body experience, right?
Right. So when you say you had that, okay, so that would have been terrifying as an out-of-body experience, wondering what is going on, why am I watching stuff, but I can't hear anything, even being able to even make any sense of it at 5 years old, right?
Yes, yes. So, and you don't talk about it. You don't talk about it because you're five. You wouldn't even know how to talk about it. I mean, maybe some people do, but I didn't, right? So
I remember when I was four, and because I've been around the paranormal, not by choice. I always say that paranormal found me, and I keep saying to spirit, and for those, most people that watch this show know what spirit is, but if you're just listening and maybe you haven't heard, it's just collectively what most of us use that we work with, positive, I know you use
yes.
it too, it's a positive spirit over on the other side, whether that's angels, I mean ascended masters.
Absolutely.
so many different kinds.
All of the above, all of the above. And so what happened then when, you know, as I started having more and more visions and starting to understand a little bit better what was happening, I came to find out that, like, my grandmother obviously would share dreams that she would have, like psychic dreams. So she was psychic in the sense she would just get these, like, her hands would itch. And she would just get these feelings, like she would know something was going to happen, or she'd have a dream.
It's like claircognizance, right?
Right.
You know, but you don't know why you know, you just know, right?
Right. And then I also found out during that time that my great-grandmother used to sit around with all the women, you know, back in the day when they were probably in a little cabin and you know, eight kids in the bedrooms. Yeah. And they used to sit around and read tea leaves. Mm-hmm. So I started to piece this together and realize this wasn't a fluke. It was actually, you know, a generational blessing being passed down, right? Mm-hmm. So now, you know, fast forward, you know, after all these years, I've been probably, you know, I do the angel tarot cards and I do a lot of intuiting, like I just grab it, right? So I'm clairsentient, clairaudient, clairseeing, all of those things. So, and sometimes smell as well, you know, it depends. Mm-hmm. When I look at all of it and, you know, more and more I'm, you know, speaking out about it and I'm publicly doing readings and that, I'm wondering how difficult it is for my family sometimes, because, you know, I think it's really hard on them because, there have been some gains in life, but there have been a lot of losses as well. Because, you know, I did relocate from Ontario, they're all there. Right. And so there's that separation in a sense. So it's difficult, I'm sure, on them, just as it is on myself. But for some reason, we just know sometimes when God is guiding us and asking us to do something, it is important that we listen. Otherwise, we're rejecting that gift. And it's no different than someone just knowing that they have the gift to work with their hands and be a mechanic or a carpenter or be in service, you know, an EMS or a police officer or a firefighter. None of these are any different. And this is where it's really challenging, I think, for families, because it's really about learning how to respect that other person. So being a respecter of others and, you know, respecting their uniqueness, and we all have to learn that in different ways.
I'm smiling because many of what you're just saying is the things that I say quite a bit about, like even about from a carpenter to an artist to a singer, we all have different gifts. They all can be healing in many ways.
Yes.
Family. My dad's one of 17 kids, and it comes from my
dad's
pregnant every year for 25 years, apparently. And good French Canadian Roman Catholic family, right? So I can't even imagine. And
yeah,
I always share this story. And my dad was kind of in the lower end. And I guess they were all around the table. My grandmother was from Belgium, and my grandfather used to speak with a very heavy French accent, and her name was Blondine. And I guess the third oldest son, everybody knew when to be home for dinner. And he had been out hot rodding, this would have been in the 50s, driving a car and no seatbelts, and his friend was right behind him, going very fast. And I guess my grandmother stood up screaming, this is very out of character, saying, "Oh my God, Philip is dead. Philip is dead." And my dad remembers this as another twelve-year-old, his father saying, "Sit down, Blondine, you're being ridiculous. He will be home shortly." Well, I guess at that moment what happened was the car door to my uncle's car opened and his friend accidentally ran him over. So they knew it was inside. And when the police came knocking on the door, you know, an hour or 2 hours later, what my father knew was exactly when he died.
Jeez. So your gift came later on as well then?
Well, it did and it didn't. I'm just going to give a huge shout out, first of all, to Zach Mann. Yeah, I like to involve everybody that's in the chat. I always say, I hate going to a live, you know, when it's going flying by with the comments. No, you can't see it. But when there's people there, we get regular people pop by. They get great questions and comments. I tell them they're part of our family, and I like to make them feel involved. That's so awesome. Zach, I'm glad to see you. So, yes, it did come later in life, but it really didn't, and I'm dying to hear your story, but I'll share this very quickly. It really didn't, because thinking back, I have had experiences with spirit, not good spirit, negative spirit, actually, since I was about 4 years old. But we all have, I think they all test us, they can all see us.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I couldn't say this to my parents. My father might have understood more, but my mother makes fun, actually, of people that do things like what you and I do. And so there was nobody to discuss it. But as a nurse, that was the scary part, because working nights on the floor, I always work nights. And I remember so many times, and it was always with somebody I graduated from university with. So we were new grads. You know, one would have 45, the other one would have 60, depending on the hallways, right?
Right.
And there are so many things that happened that they aren't coincidence. There's just no way it was coincidence that would happen. Like, somebody's supposed to be going home on the bus that morning back to Geraldton, which is way in the middle of nowhere in Northern Ontario. Had been in the hospital for 2 weeks with stomach pain, and just intuitively knowing, even being a new grad and talking to her, mm-hmm. all of a sudden she just wasn't feeling that well, and I knew intuitively, and literally her ulcer exploding right in front of me. Had she been on that bus, that I'd already like ended up calling someone. So there were so many things looking back. Now, did you find that too yourself? Like,
absolutely. I would say more so in my adult life, not so much in my childhood. Mm-hmm. I feel like for me, my childhood was this, I was, you know, in the 70s era. So this carefree mm-hmm. child running through the, you know, the fields and playing with my brother. And we just really, like, we lived in a rural area. So we had, you know, a fairly carefree life, and we did a lot with my mom, and we had pets and that sort of thing. So I don't recall having a lot of things happen then. I'm sure that they did, like in the sense of angel guides guiding us, you know, in a carefree, innocent way. But most of mine came as an adult. And when you talk about dark energies and spirits, I didn't really have any experiences with dark entities until about, I'd say probably about 8 years ago. And when you talk about the hospitals, there was a hospital just down the street from me here, and it had been torn down about 10 years prior.
Right.
And apparently, from what I've heard, is that the newspapers went to take pictures of the hospital being torn down. And when they printed the photos, they could see spirits standing in the windows in the hospital. So there's a lot in this area of town. There are a lot of spirits in the homes. In fact, I've had them in this home. And some of my neighbors have also shared their stories. And, you know, really, most of the spirits that I've seen in here have all been friendly. They've just poked their head in, like, you know, say I'm laying in bed and they just kind of poke their head in, oh, how you doing? And then they leave. They're just coming in through that portal. Mm-hmm. And just, they're not here to, you know, cause any harm. But I did have a dark entity show up in my house, and I have that story in my book. I guess it'd be about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, I was renting the house out for a time, and I came back to do some renovations, so it was vacant. And a lot of times they say when you leave a home vacant, that's when they all come in. Mm-hmm. And one did decide to stay here and actually wouldn't even allow people to rent it at some points. There was a family that moved in, and they must not have liked them, because 6 days later, they booked it out of here. They said pictures were flying off the walls, and, you know, and they actually had a minister come to bless the house. And he wouldn't even come in the house. He stood at the door and did his thing. And he said, I think this house wants its owner back. They don't want you here. And yeah, 2 days later, they moved out. And you know, it took me a while to get back here, but I did end up moving back in. So homes have energy. Entities come that are from, you know, different energy. I guess we could say sources, for lack of a better word right now.
I'm going to share something with you. Actually, when I was 8, from the time the snow melted to the time the snow fell again, I woke up every night at 3 o'clock completely blue, unable to breathe. They had no idea why. I didn't want to go to sleep. They diagnosed me with asthma, knowing. But when my last house that I just moved from the past 11 years, my partner's been thrown 15 feet. I've been scratched. I've been burnt. It started with a dream. We actually shared our story on Paranormal Survivor and how it started. I had felt this call probably about 15, 16 years ago, and I'd taken Doreen Virtue's certified angel reading course. That was when she was still doing this.
Right.
And we had just watched my first husband and I, the story of the movie The Secret. Right when it was all new and exciting.
That's such a great movie.
So I hurt my back by then as a nurse and wasn't able to work, but I was doing a lot of crafting. I enjoy that. And I was making pet accessories. And if I was able to get out, everywhere I went, people wanted to carry my merchandise, but they didn't want a commission. They didn't want anything. So I remember saying to my first husband, holy cow, like, I just can't believe this. I remember him jokingly say, well, maybe it's the law of attraction. It's The Secret. I kid you not, that night I had this dream. And because you're sensitive, and I try to be careful with people that are sensitive, but I was in my front yard and there was a man in this tree in my front yard. And it was like it happened 15 minutes ago. And this is like years ago. And I could tell you what he was wearing, and very, very high maintenance or expensive type of suit and shirt and tie, but his face was this awful sickly white, and it had black slick back hair, but it was eyes that were going black to flame. And he said, hello, Marlene. He said, you know that little business that you have? He goes, well, that's nothing. I can bring you wealth. I can bring you fame. I can bring you anything along your wildest dreams. All you have to do is agree to follow me. In my dream, it's not radio friendly what I said to him, but under uncertain terms. And then I said, who are you? And he identified himself, gave me his name, gave me the spelling, told me he was something of the D and ending in an N realm. And I again told him where to go. And he went, oh, no. Every time you see a crow or a raven, you'll know who it is. And I called on Archangel Michael in my dream. There was this brilliant flash of the most royal blue, silver, and white. I woke up shaking, sweating, and crying, none of which I do. And then that's when all heck broke loose. That's why I was smiling, not in a good way, but absolutely. And we're seeing more
You know, we're seeing more and more of everything right now, because we know that the veil is thinning. We know that, you know, it does talk about that in scripture as well. And I'm sure in other, you know, spiritual or religious teachings. But what's happening right now is, you know, we know that we're living in the 3D. That's a given. But what's happening right now is there's a battle going on in the heavenlies right now. The battle between good and evil.
Absolutely.
And we see that across our earth right now. So we see, you know, without going into too much of the politics of it, we see what's happening, right? We see the control. We see how, you know, when you're making a pot of soup, and everybody's throwing something into it, that's what it kind of reminds me of right now, is that there's this, and this happening that are on a large scale, but everybody's jumping on the bandwagon, and they're putting their input into it. They're putting maybe their religious tone into it. They're putting their political tone into it. They're, you know, maybe have some people that are not mentally well, and they're saying, wow, I can have fun with this one and throw some pics up on social media.
or that collectively the fear globally is like the fire
under and you know, it's why it's happening right now is because if you look back generations and generations, what we see is we see people being they're functioning in their humanity. But what people are doing is, you know, we're all evolving at different levels and different stages, and we're, you know, some are not awakened, some are. And so when we look back in, you know, generations and in the world, I would say probably in the last 10 to 15 years, we see how there is a lot of violence. There is a lot of, there's addiction, there's backstabbing. And we're not just talking about in the workplaces. We've seen it in the workplaces. We've heard some horror stories. I'm sure you've heard some, you know, not very pretty stories about things that have happened to people in, you know, in their workplaces where they've been let go or fired, and all of the whole drama around all of that, you know. But it's also happening in families. And people are pitting each other against each other. You know, look at children sometimes, and maybe not real young children, but sometimes I've seen it in daycares as well, because I've worked with daycares as well. But, you know, when you look at that movie Mean Girls, you know, for example, like people just, they resort to these, you know, to this type of lower level of mentality and energy functioning.
Materialism.
Like, we know we need a certain amount of materialism because we live on the earth. It's not about that. It's about the greed and the rejection and the resentment. It's about all of those lower level energies that are, you know, that are seen across the world. And now what's happening, we're all shifting into the 4D consciousness. And sorry to say, everyone, but we're going whether you're on board or not. So if you're not awakened and you're not aware, because awareness is the first stage, you know, being aware of what's going on. And if you're aware, but you're not quite yet awakened, you're going anyway. We're all going in that, think of it like a 4D tunnel. And the earth is literally elevating right now, and it's lifting and it's moving upwards into the fifth dimension.
Right.
Because in the heavenlies, we know, and in the universal hemisphere, we know that there are many other planets, there are many other species. We don't need science to tell us that, because most of us that are empathic or seers, or we've had dreams, we already know. We've been, you know, they've been communicating with us. They've been connecting with us all along. So we've got all of these people from, or entities from other planets. And there's also right now this whole battle between good and evil. So it's between God, and you can call him Satan, or you can call it Source and dark energy. It doesn't matter what we label it. The reality of it is it's the action that's happening. It's the energy that's spiraling across the earth. And we see this everywhere we go. Open up your social media page and you'll have everything from nuts to bolts on there about the topic, right? So we're all going that way. We are elevating into a higher level of consciousness.
Right.
Now, why? Why? You know, any thoughts on that, right?
I think I know why. And you why know is what? That? This for a long time, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. We are capable as human beings of so much more than we've ever been taught, we've ever been led to believe, including healing ourselves, unconditional love, service to others rather than service to self. These are all things I know exactly what you're talking about, and where we're headed. But we also need to raise our vibration and start to become aware and awake to start unlocking this potential. I really, and they don't want us to realize this.
That's right, Laura.
Dark energy, because then they can't touch us. They can't, there's nothing they'll be able to do. Am I right, or is there?
You're absolutely right. Like, you know, it's why it's so important that those of us that don't want to put something that is contaminating in our bodies, we watch what we eat. You know, I mean, I maybe eat out once a month. It's sometimes not even that, because it's really important for me to know what's going in my food. It's important for me to eat, you know, as much from scratch as possible, using spices, using, you know, healthy ingredients. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of people that eat way healthier than me, and there's plenty that eat way less healthier than me. But we have to listen to our body, right? We have to listen to what our body is saying. And this is like, this is the whole heart of my book, is we're talking about consciousness. I don't know if it'll show up backwards. Oh, no, it's showing up right. Sight Beyond Sight is the title.
I used your book. I always do that with authors. I use their book cover as my banner for your show.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I always do that because, you know what? Even if people can't see everything with the pictures, subconsciously, it's going to go in there, right?
It's there. Yeah. That's a smart cookie. Imprinting Our Soul's Journey Through the 8 Keys to Consciousness. So it's about...
that, like, what I gotta know, like, I didn't need to cut you off, I'm sorry, but I gotta know, like, okay, so where did you come up with the topic? How did the book start? I've got so many questions.
Well, you know, it's an interesting journey that I had started this book probably like 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And when I had started the book, I just thought, oh, you know, I just want to talk about spirituality, and I just want to share some of my experiences. So I started, you know, typing away on the computer, and I gave a copy. This story is actually in the book too. So I gave a copy to my friend, and I said, well, do you want to just read it? He was my mentor, and I wanted him to kind of give me his opinion on, you know, where he thought I was going with it. And my computer crashed. So I called him to get that copy from him, the hard copy, so that I could, you know, type it out. And he said, oh, I lost it.
You must have been so far broken.
I was like, oh, my God, what now?
Yeah.
So I started working on it again, trying to retrieve what I could.
How hard.
And then, you know, I relocated out west, and I was working 2 and 3 jobs for quite a number of years. I did not have time to get to it. And then started it up about 2019 again. I did do a bit of writing in 2018 in the winter. And then 2019, the summer of 2019, I decided, you know what, even if I just write a couple of paragraphs a day, at least I'm putting some effort into it. And then when this whole last year situation happened, everything shut down for a time, and I thought, what a better time to, you know, work on it than to just sit here and watch Netflix all day. Yeah. So that's an example of how, you know, you can take a situation that is not very positive and turn it around, right? So I wrote the book. It started out, I called it The Knowing, but as it developed, I just felt like that wasn't the right fit. It felt like Sight Beyond Sight was more fitting for it, because really what I want to share with people, and what I do share with people, is the hardships I've had for a long time off and on in my life. And so the last year that everyone's been experiencing, imagine that going on. And by the sounds of it, you've had, you know, some of that yourself. And so try that on for, you know, 15, 18 years off and on, and struggling, and then things going well, and then crashing again, and just, you know, on and on. And so really what it did was it caused me to turn even closer to the divine, closer to source, listening to my guides, paying attention. You know, I've had so many close calls where I nearly died in accidents. There's at least 3 stories in the book about that. And the last one that I had been here at the home restoring it, and I was heading back to Alberta, and I was 10 minutes away from home. I had driven all night, and the roads were not too bad. There was just a little bit of snow cover on the roads, and it was a bright sunny day. And I was just thinking, wow, I'm going to make it on time for work. I'll drop the puppies off, give them some breakfast. I may not have time to shower, but I'll hop into my work clothes and I'll get to work on time. And I was just smiling. I was so happy. And all of a sudden, I hit black ice. And I started to spin out of control. And I was spinning, and I could see the traffic at both ends of me coming towards me. And I knew that if I didn't do something, we were all going to be dead. And I don't know what, because they usually say, you know, pump on the brakes. I tried that and it wasn't doing. I started to pump on the brakes and then I spun around the other way and I saw the car coming towards me. I slammed on my brakes and I do not even know how this happened. I literally flew backwards into this huge ditch, and it had the snow had crusted over about maybe 2.5 feet, 3 feet, and there I was sitting in the middle of this ditch, and I just sat there, and I mean, it took me 2 days to realize what happened, that I knew in those moments and the moments that followed that there was a purpose for me and there was a plan, and I knew that the dark side was trying to destroy me because it didn't want me out there helping people. It didn't want me out there sharing these stories of hope. And, you know, this is what I want to wake people up to, is that we need to pay attention and we can pull ourselves out of that pit, and we can pay attention to our guides, and it could be our spirit guides, like you said, God. And I mean, I count myself very fortunate because I have many that come to me and help.
Can I share a story with you?
Absolutely. I would love to hear.
You're saying, because there may be skeptics hearing, oh, there's no way that could happen. Well, you would have had to have been there. I could literally see what you were showing me, and I was feeling this terror until you said, I could see what your car did and went into the ditch. And then I'm going to share a story that will support this. I was a community visiting nurse. That's actually how I hurt my back. But I was pregnant with my first son, and we had tried for years to have this baby. And any baby is important, especially your first baby. Like, you know, you're just so excited. And yeah. I was a VON nurse. It's called a Victorian Order of Nurses. So if you're in Canada, you may have heard of them. And I was on this rural country road, middle of winter, about minus 35 below. And I had to get to this house on time for an intravenous in the home. And there were no signs. Super bright, sunny day, just like you said, but everything was glistening white. Everything looked white. The sun was coming off the snow like diamonds, so you couldn't see the turnoff. And that I came up over, and it looked like the road went straight. There was no signs or anything. I went like this right into a ditch, okay? So I was down in this ditch like this. There was no way my four-cylinder car was getting out of there. No cell service. No phones, no houses. And I was, again, not aware. I'm getting goosebumps telling you this.
Yes.
I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And I started to pray, and not realizing it was my guides. I get out of the car, go to stand up. The snow was up to my hips, like up to here, past my hips. And I'm thinking, I'm pregnant. Like, what am I going to do? And I believe it was Archangel Michael. Now he said, get back in your car. Turn the car on, put it in reverse. And I'm arguing in my head with this voice. There's no way, it's not going to work. Just get in your car and turn it on. Oh, I have goosebumps on goosebumps right now. So I could literally cry. And so I listened. It was like there were 20 men pushing the front of my car up this incline all the way up in this snow that was how many feet?
Amazing. Deep.
And my car pushed it right up backwards onto the road, and away I went. Not a problem with the car, not a mark on it.
Wow.
How does that happen? And I only
exactly
support exactly what you're saying. How do you?
Well, another way we can look at it, one thing that I'm appreciative of is the fact that we both had careers in clinical settings, you know, educational, clinical, whatever category you want to put it under. Because it really helps to give your listeners a clearer picture that, because there are psychic mediums that's all they've done, you know, all their lives. That's all they've done, right? John Edwards started out, you know, in a hospital very briefly, but then he felt called and he launched right into his, you know, doing the crossing over and that kind of stuff. So, but the nice thing about the fact that we've had careers, it gives us something to weigh, because we're looking at those are almost like, they're like practical, they're, you know, we had to have education to do that, we followed the system, yeah. We, you know, went to work 5 days a week or, you know, 6 days a week and did what we had to do to pay our bills. And so we lived that life. We lived that earthling life of the conformity and, you know, I mean, we all need to do something, you know, for work, and a great majority of people are lost in that and stay in that and will never come out of that. They don't have experiences. They're not open to it. Their soul is not open.
And I think that's the operative word. Sorry, I wanted to stop you there.
No, that'd be great. Yeah.
Open, because they're not recognizing, and this is part of what I teach, and I'm sure your book and what you teach too, Rain, is there are signs around us all the time. And it's not coming from the woo-woo world, as I call it. You just have to pay attention. And once you start to pay attention, it's like your guides know you're ready. Like you're just starting to rub that sleep on your eyes. They will send you more. You can ask for it. You can ask for it.
And you know, people that I do readings for and consulting with, you know, I will consult them, you know, with their businesses and their personal life. You know, you use a mix of practical knowledge, and you also tap into the intuitive piece, because what people don't realize is that, I guess you could look to visualize it, we're on the earth, we're down here, we're like these little ants, and they're all the angels, people that have passed on before us, or, you know, grandparents, aunts, whoever they are. Some people have, you know, lost children, had miscarriages, that sort of thing, right?
You're reading my mind. I was just thinking that.
Yeah, all of those spirits are there, and they're, you know, and the archangels, there's a hierarchy of angelic realm that is there to help us. And gladly and luckily, they can see and they can foresee things that we can't. I mean, it's like, I don't know how else you want to look at it. I mean, let's say you're standing at the top of a mountain and you're looking down in a valley of people. You might see some homes and you might see little dots moving, but they're actually people, right? It depends on your view, like how close are you? And how far, if you're standing in a forest and there's trees all around you and there's a bear, you know, 500 yards from you, right, you may not see it because the trees are blocking that bear. But if you were up in an aerial view, you'd be able to see that bear likely, right? Yeah. So it's all about perspective, and it's all about, I like what you said about calling. It's like when we start hearing that calling, sometimes it's just that still small voice. Things will happen. All of a sudden, we'll just know. Like, for example, when a friend of mine, her husband passed away, and the phone rang, and I went to go to the phone, and I just knew it was her. And I picked up the phone, and when I said hello, she said hello, and I knew right away that he had passed away. How did I know that? Like, there's no way to... There's no scientific way that we can explain that out fully. We can, you know, say, well, we had a hunch, or, you know, we can try to explain it out, but there's no real way to fully analyze it and explain it out, because these sightings, experiences, movement into the, you know, consciousness and the fifth dimension and all of it that is encompassed in it are gifts. They're gifts to humanity. It's just like God gave us free will. Mm-hmm. It's a gift. It's a gift. And these are also gifts. And so we can choose to shut it off. I've talked to many people that said, oh, yeah, man, I used to have visions all the time. And, you know, it just got too woo-woo for me and too scary. So I asked to have for it to be removed or I shut it off.
I've been wanting to ask you because you've talked about generational gifts just quickly. And you mentioned you have children and both my children, I've never pushed it on them, my two sons. But even my son with autism, both of them are very intuitive, very powerful psychically, but also can communicate with animals ever since they were babies. So for example, when you mentioned spirits in the house, we've had a few things happen in the house, but nothing crazy, right? And my animals have been acting crazy lately, especially my shepherd. She actually here. Yeah. And my son says to me, he was living out of town and he just bought a house and moved in back home, not here, but in the city. And he was over the other night and he said, you know, you have a little black cat here in spirit.
Oh, wow.
That's what that is. I knew it had to be something. He goes, yeah. He goes, I was going up the stairs and he says, I just seen this black cat go by. And he goes, I know you don't have a black cat. and the thing is, reason though, when you said about shutting them off, there's a reason why I'm going with this is my son, especially my eldest. There were times when he would say, I'm shutting this off. This is too much. And I would warn him, you can never really totally shut it off, but I respect it and I'll support you. Now he fully embraces it. He's going to be 26. But I wanted to ask you, have you noticed? And if that's too personal of a question, I respect
it. Not at all. I've seen signs of it in all of my children, but my one son is the most intuitive, and I think it's just a matter of he's a little more open spiritually, so he's not religious at all, but he has dreams sometimes, and he is more of a universal, almost like a crystal child. Realm.
Our kids are. We sound like we're about the same age because I was.
Yes, my kids are. Yeah, my kids are like late 20s, early 30s.
Okay,
yeah.
Think kids, a lot of them are coming in. I've been saying it's almost like a new type of human being. Like they're more,
right.
Yeah.
Well, I think the difference, and I mean, maybe you have a listener or two that knows a little more about it. I've done some reading on, you know, the crystal and rainbow children and whatnot. It's what it seems to me is that most of them come in already having the gift being born into the world.
Yeah.
So they're almost like your prodigies that sit down at 4 years old and play the piano full on Tchaikovsky, right? Mm-hmm. So they come in born with the gifts already, that intuitive development already progressed. Whereas I think a lot of us that have had those gifts come to us in other ways, either through, you know, there are people that have had accidents and been intuitive because of that experience. There's people that have had life after death experiences where they've gone to the other side, you know.
40 years, new death experiences is an area of interest to me. I think I had one as a toddler, actually. I'm almost positive I did.
Oh, okay.
Well, I was two going on three, and I kept seizuring with a fever of 106 in Sault Ste. Marie. And we did live in Sault Ste. Marie for a bit when I was growing up, and my parents kept bringing me to the emergency. And apparently I had a handful of ringlets. There's a reason why I mentioned that too. Oh. And every time they get me there, I would be seizuring. So they'd send me home. The last time they went back and they were adamant and I had a massive seizure apparently in the emergency room. They took me back to the back room for a couple of hours. They would let my parents go back. And then I was in the hospital for 2 weeks. They never told my parents what happened. But my mom said the next day, my hair was completely poker straight. And it was for many years after.
That can happen. That can happen through treatments. Mm-hmm. It can happen through hormonal changes. you know, all that sort of thing.
But I was like, yeah, 3 years old when it happened.
Yeah. See, that might be when you started having your intuitive gifts come in, was when you had that seizure. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times a trauma will bring that on. Mm-hmm. People that have crossed over, you know, are you familiar with the book Embraced by the Light by Betty J. Eddy?
First one I read when I was 17.
Yeah, she was. That was a beautiful book. It really was. And so she was such a brave soul to come out at a time when, you know, really the secret hadn't come out yet. And, you know, like there were a lot of people that embraced her story, and like that's just awesome that they did, because, you know, there's going to be rejection anytime it's something that's unique or outside the box. And you'll also find too a lot of people that are in that, I don't know if I want to call it necessarily draconian, but some draconian type positions, jobs. Yeah. Societal conformity type jobs, they're not open to this kind of stuff. And that's why they're in those jobs, because it's fitting for them and their personality and who they are and who they've become or who they're becoming. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think that that's going to change over time. So can I just share a little experience? I'm not sure how this is all going to pan out. It hasn't been fully revealed to me yet.
Please
what
share.
What the new earth is going to look like. But I can share with you. So when all of this stuff started happening, and I had fear throughout this last year. I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say I didn't. I mean, there was a lot of uncertainty at times. I was listening to information. I don't watch mainstream news, so I was getting information from underground people that were witnessing things and news pods that were coming up from all over. Mm-hmm. And so at one point I realized, you know, intuitively and spiritually, this really is a year of change, and it's leading us into the change that we're being called to move into as earth beings and as the earth itself. And so I laid down to meditate, and I just, you know, asked. I said, you know, God, how is this even going to happen? Because I got the word separation, that there would be separation between the believers and the unbelievers. So the draconian type people and the light people, the light workers, if you want to call them that. And I said, I couldn't grasp, how are we going to live on the same space or in the same space and be able to function and each be able to function in our own capacities? And so I had my hands on my solar plexus and my, maybe I can just stand up and show you. So I had them like this, you know, on my solar plexus and my, what's the other one? Sacral chakra.
Yeah, sacral.
And so I was just laying there and I was meditating, and all of a sudden, like I had my eyes closed, I could feel my left hand rising up and coming up on top of my, see if you can see that, on top of my, I'm not very good with these angles.
On top,
like this. Here we go. That's better. On top. And I could feel it hovering there. And I could feel it. I could feel it elevated above my other hand. Kind of like when they talk about when they do, they levitate people off the floor. That's how it felt. And God spoke to me and said, that's how it's going to happen. And I said, oh, so somehow we're still going to exist together, coexist, I guess would be the better word for it, but we would not be on the same level. We're not going to be on the same playing field. So then I opened my eyes and I looked down, and there's my hands lined up side by side. It wasn't on top, like it hadn't levitated up on top. It was literally side by side.
So
yeah, that's what I've been shown. And even if you go back to the work of Dolores Cannon and all the people that know, some of that stuff is questionable that she's done.
Right.
I know she talked about this, that this was coming through the patients
she
had repressed. And it was exactly sort of what you said, that it was almost like Earth One and Earth Two. But I don't know how we're going to interconnect or if we're going to meet up or what. But yeah, it's not really a separation, but it's like it's hard to understand right now.
It is.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's why I say, you know, we're all trying to figure things out. We're all moving at our own pace. That's why we're in the fourth dimension right now, because we're gathering information and we're moving forward a bit. And then, you know, there might be some draconian measures that come in and that pulls us back or pushes us down again. We have to raise our vibration and meditate and listen to, you know, some Hertz videos, you know, with tones and that to raise our brain activity, you know, and our soul and spirit energy.
People, and I've been saying, focus on what you want to see. Hello, baby. She always makes an appearance. This is Emma.
Yeah.
Focus on what you want to see, not what you don't want. Also, yes, meditation and people right now, I'm getting so many people. I'd love to hear your thoughts too. I'm stuck. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. Thinking inside the box. How about we remove the box? I say to them, and there is no box. The sky is the limit. Think about anything that you could build from your lifetime of skills and get creative. The other part is just be open to change, try and be flexible with it. But when I talk to them about raising their vibration, what I say to them is we need to focus on things that bring us joy. And I'm finding a lot of people are, I just have nothing that brings me joy. So what Spirit has shared with me is, how about going back to when you were a child? Mm-hmm. What brought you joy as a child? How about bringing some of that into your life? Is that something?
Absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. I mean, bringing that joy back in. So for your listeners, my website is just having all of my programs being uploaded as we speak. And by tomorrow, they should all be up. One of them is, I call it Playdate, and that's the one for children. And it's doing art with the kids online, right? So for a lot of homeschooling parents, parents that have children home because their schools aren't open, or with summer camps coming up, there's going to be, you know, some fun activities and, you know, that creative art piece that I'll be doing with them, so that, you know, maybe their attention spans only a half an hour, but guess what? That half an hour that I spend with them helping them to create, or people can do that at home with their children if they like on their own, that is opening up doors for them to become more creative. It's sparking that creative side of the brain, right? The right hemisphere, and getting that creativity flowing. And when we're talking about, the feeling stuck, been there myself. So what I talk about in the book, one of the concepts is compartmentalizing. And I don't know, you know, I'm sure there's other writers that perhaps have come up with that skill. But what I mean,
let's hear your perspective, Rain.
Yeah, and my perspective on it is this, is that we can't live in complete naivety and denial. So we do need to listen to a certain amount of what's going on in the world so that we're aware and we're not caught unawares, so they say. And that can create a sense of security, because then we have knowledge, and knowledge is power. And so we can understand where things are at that time. But then we have to pull in that intuitive piece and know when to set it aside and to say enough is enough today. I'm not going to listen to any more videos on the demise of the earth and all of the people that are being harmfully affected by it. I'm now going to, like as you say, I'm now going to open myself up, and I'm going to, hey, maybe I've been wanting to go walking and I've been putting it off. I'm going to go for a walk, and I'm going to look up and look at the sky, or if it's night, I'm going to look up and you know, admire the stars. I'm going to, you know, take the dog for a walk, or I'm going to play with the dog in the backyard and throw a ball for him, or I'm going to sit down, put a movie on and paint a picture or draw or put a puzzle together that I've had these puzzles stacked up in the corner for, you know, 10 years, you know, like just opening up your mind. And I call that like be the open channel. So be the open channel to something new, to something different that lights that fire within us, that spark that lights our soul alive, that can bring us, like what you're saying, joy, peace would be another one, contentment. Well,
so people are breaking up right now.
Oh, it's
yeah, yeah. But I keep saying now, you know, I've had quite a few readings where, you know, obviously people are devastated. It's been longstanding relationships, but what Spirit has shared, and I'd love to hear if you're okay with it, but what Spirit has shared is this is the time for you to celebrate you, to nurture you, to uplift yourself. This is actually a gift. It does not look like a gift right now. Mm-hmm. Okay. And talking about the grieving period, you know, then there's no timetable. It should really, I always say the five stages of death and dying by Dr. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. I know you know with a psychology background.
Yes, she did an amazing piece with that.
Yeah, but it should be called really the five stages of loss, because it doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
We all go through that process, and it's individual to the human being. And it's not like it ever really goes away. It's, you know, depending on the level of loss, but especially if it's someone you've really loved, you know, especially with working in palliative care, it's just with time, and it's not even the proper word, but it's like a new normal almost grows around it as time goes on, but it never goes away.
No, it plays on you for sure, right? That loss is there.
We got to find a way to go on, and we got to find a way to nurture ourselves. So I'd love to hear, so you're seeing a lot of this as well, a lot of breakups of relationships.
Oh, it's more than that, even breakups, children suffering because of, you know, the mask wearing, health issues. I've been hearing of a lot of violence in families and with couples, and the addiction has skyrocketed. So there's just a lot of pain and suffering going on. So there's two ways we can look at this, right? You're saying there's a lot of breakups. So let's just focus on that as an example. So this year has been a time for us to reflect and to go within and to better understand ourselves. Sometimes people get into relationships for the wrong reasons. They get into relationships for security. They get into relationships for comfort. They don't want to be lonely anymore. There's a lot of reasons that people get into relationships that perhaps those are some of the ones that are falling away now, because this has only impacted a secondary traumatic experience for them, right? In the situation. So that is bringing to light the truth. It's bringing out what has been pushed down and has been being denied. On the flip side of that, it could be that it's time to reflect, yes, yourself, and both of you do work on yourselves and be able to come together and grow together. A lot of times what happens, having been married myself and divorced now, what sometimes happens is that couples don't grow at the same, right? Like one's here and one's here. Or sometimes one won't even grow at all until the breakup happens, right? Mm-hmm. Then all of a sudden they start to grow because they realize their pain is so deep, or things that they're being shown need to be worked on, right? So there's different ways we can look at it, but really what we really need to do on the practical, erring on the practical side of it, is to look at what is going on and look at what's not going right, but then look at what can possibly go right. So it's all about possibilities, right? I mean, I talk about, okay, be aware, first of all, become awakened, and then move into possibility. So what does that possibility look like to you or for you, right? And, you know, that might mean you need some time apart. Maybe you're going to go away to go to school. But you know what? I think sometimes that we put too much emphasis on somebody else fixing us, somebody else taking care of us.
Self-responsibility. Take from this relationship. I always say to people, you both fell in love in the beginning. You know, take a what's happening throughout your love life, because you get people that have been in long-term relationships, many relationships, looking at that. Are you maybe looking at the, you know, what are you taking from this relationship? Because there's always gifts and there's always lessons, right?
Yes.
But
yes.
Move forward, you know, and yes, this is a time for you. This is a time to work on you. That's what spirit would mean by the gift. This is a time to give to yourself, mm-hmm. time that we've never had.
Yes.
But we've all said that we've always wanted. Anybody is
yes.
So looking at the positive of this, but taking the gifts and the lessons from that relationship, including it. And this is the thing that was really strange for me recently with spirit. And it was another lady that a really close friend of mine that's a numerologist that does intuitive readings. It is not to sugar, like not be mean, but to come forward and just mm-hmm. this is what it is. Like you know what I mean? Like
yes.
It. And so people are hearing you. It's not being misconstrued. This is coming from spirit, but really important about taking the time to heal, taking the time to nurture yourself, and mm-hmm. whether that is physical, spiritual, emotional, or all of the above.
Yeah.
And then, you know what? Maybe spending some time on yourself, because a lot of people tend to be finding, at least that I'm seeing, really wanting to jump into one relationship after the other, and mm-hmm. giving themselves time to heal. We all need
yep. we need that time. We do. Mm-hmm. And it's also in that healing process, we're learning about boundaries, about healthy boundaries, right?
Yes.
So that self-responsibility, it doesn't mean that we can't still be there for others, but we have to have boundaries, because in most mothers and some, you know, probably a lot of single fathers out there have been through this experience where we, for so long, put our lives on hold. We did everything, you know, we had the sleepless nights when our children were sick. We, you know, ran their lunch to school when they forgot their lunch. We, you know, bent over backwards to get them those running shoes that they needed for gym class. Like, there, think of it, there's like, you know, 15, 17, 20 some years where we were constantly putting our lives on the back burner, right? And so at some point, we have to learn the lesson that we need to do the self-care, like you say, take care of ourselves and be responsible. And it doesn't mean that we, like you say, we don't have to be mean about it. We can say, hey, look, you know what? I would love to drive you here or there tonight, but I have I'm having, you know, coffee or wine with the girls tonight. You know, it's my girls' night. It's my girls' night, you know? And, you know, and just, you know, feeling your own experience is important too, right? So it's all interconnected. All of this is, you know,
I have you back on here because we are almost like got just over half an hour left. I just love talking. I knew I was going to love talking to you, Rain, because I would. But you know what I want to ask you? You mentioned something earlier, because we didn't even get into like the soul work that you're doing, the businesses mm-hmm. that you work with. Like, what does that look like for people? Because that's something new. I don't think my viewers and listeners have heard before.
Okay, so as you know, I said, like, I do intuitive readings, and those are often consultations that, you know, I can do in person, but now most of them are being done, you know, through Zoom or on Messenger, video Messenger. So, you know, those can take anywhere from, you know, 30 minutes to an hour. Sometimes there's a lot to go over. I'm the type of reader that because I've been to other readers where they, you know, set the timer, and when the ding goes off, you have to pay more money. And, you know, I just felt so anxious and so upset, you know, when I had that experience, that I didn't want to put anyone else through that. So
I'm very emotionally connected. So the messages come through me in that sense, in that sensibility, through emotion. You know, I see visions, I get words, I have like feelings that come with it. So I tend to read until I'm empty. And if that takes 45 minutes or 65 minutes, it doesn't really matter. That's not the point. The point of it is that when that person comes to me, I always ask, please give me the words, allow what this person needs to hear to come through me to them.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So that's one piece that I do. Mm-hmm. So there's, it's always, I find it like there's the spiritual stuff and then there's the practical stuff. So the practical stuff is more of the corporate work that I do. So working with groups of people, you know, now some of it's being done through Zoom, some of it's, you know, rather than in person, but working with people to overcome trauma, limitations, barriers, obstacles that have happened in their lives, and empowering them to become the best person that they can be. So mastering their life. So that's a pretty full package. So, you know, the packages can range from, you know, a 2-day workshop to, you know, 6 weeks to 6 months. Just depending on what that organization needs. The other piece of it is all of the stuff that's happening now that's being uploaded onto my site, all of the new stuff that's happening. So, you know, with things happening the way that they are, a lot of agencies are downsizing. They haven't even come back up to their levels of staffing. So I thought, what better way to reach people where they're at? And so I've begun a women's group that's Thriving Thursdays, we call it. And it's both professional and you know, lay persons, you know, single parent at home, you know, whatever you're doing, you're running a company from home, you're not. We all get together on Thursday evening and we chat it out for a bit. And then I always leave them with some kind of a, you know, we'll do like a chakra exercise or, you know, paint a picture or, you know, you know, they can hang on longer with me if they want for 2 hours, but if they got to go, they can finish their picture later on or they can finish it tomorrow, you know. So it's all about let's support one another as women and let's have fun too, right? So there's that piece. And then I had mentioned the kids' art with the homeschooling parents. And I've started two really exciting projects I want to call to mention. One is called the Angel Project.
Ooh, and
it's a collective that I am doing, a collective book whereby people get to become a first-time author with me. And so they can, they have, you know, a spot, you can call it a chapter or a spot. It'll probably, most of them are looking like they're anywhere from a page to 3 pages. And they're sharing any experiences that they've had where they've seen angels, where they've had a miracle happen in their own lives, where they've seen miracles. Your story about the car would be an example of a story that you would share, yeah. Right? And so they get to have their picture at the top of the page. And this will be a collective of stories that will be put out globally and will be promoted. And the second project that I have begun, I'm very crazy about animals, just as you are. And I have 3 dogs and 2 cats. So, you know, I mean, I just am nuts about animals. And so this one's called The Keeper. And it's all about miraculous stories that you've had happen with your parrot, your parakeet, your dog, your cat. And it's similar to the Angel Project, but some of those stories are tending to only be about a page long. But same thing, you know, picture of the pet at the top of the page or you with your pet and just, you know, telling your story and bringing hope to people. Because you know what, right now we need that so much. We need to raise the vibration of the planet. And what better way to do that than sharing
out of worldly experiences in our miraculous happenings in our lives, that to help people see that, you know, we're not all bonkers, that these things really do happen. So those are just some of the projects. There are some others, you know, just classes that I do, helping people to raise their vibration, doing that soul, that deep inner soul work. So, you know, they can always.
For people that have never heard the term soul work, deep inner soul work. What does that look like for somebody? I understand, but I mean, for people that are listening and they're hearing soul work, what does that mean? Like, I know I have a soul, but I'd love to hear that with people.
It's fair to ask me, but I don't think that we can say what it completely is in a sentence or two. Mm-hmm. Soul work is when you think of your spirit is, you know, when they say body, mind, emotion, spirit, your spirit is that piece that is like, okay, let's say you get up in the morning and you were going to stay home and you were going to, I don't know, bake in the morning because you thought, you know, I've been wanting to bake a cake and some cookies and that. But so you start getting everything out. And you realize you need a couple of ingredients.
Yes.
And so instead of altering the recipe, you just decide, you know what? I'm going to run to the store. So in the spontaneous moment, you grab your keys, you throw your sandals on, and you run to the store. And then you see another shop, and you stop in there. And, you know, 3 hours later, you come home, and you're probably not going to bake now because you just went on a whim, and you just listened to your intuition. Mm-hmm. And, you know, maybe you've been needing a chair for the living room, and you just happened to go into the secondhand shop and you found the perfect chair. And so, you know, you're really excited because you listen to your intuitive, your gut instinct. So that's your spirit. Your spirit is in movement. It's in a freeness, a state of freeness. That's your spirit. Your soul, on the other hand, acts like the rudder of a boat. You know, it's at the back. And the motor, when we turn the motor to the left or right, that's what guides that boat, right? Mm-hmm. That's what guides it to where you're going. That's sort of like what the soul is.
Yeah.
The soul is this passion, desire. It's this knowledge within you that you can't even really explain. You just know that you know that, say, something's not right in your life right now, and you finally pin it down to, I'm not happy doing the work I'm doing. I'm not happy in the job that I'm in. So you get online and you start researching different courses at the college or the university, and you end up finding the perfect course.
Right.
And you take that course, and you know, a year or two later, now you're working in that field. So the soul is very complex. The soul is soul work. This is like the shadow work that we do.
Okay.
The hidden pieces that we need to do to progress our evolution, the evolution of ourself, our very soul, our very embodiment of who we are.
That can be anything depending on the individual, then depending on what maybe needs a little, I don't even want to say tweaking, but even just recognition and being aware, right? Like, you know, that this may be what I always say to people, and myself included, it's so easy to see what the issue is from the outside looking in. But when we hold that proverbial mirror up to our face, it's not possible for people to see what it is. And is that kind of like, is that how you kind of help guide them? Maybe is there something that maybe is missing or they need a little direction with?
Well, often what happens is that they'll come to me and they'll have an issue. Perhaps it's a relationship issue. And so when we look at the cards and then I start tapping into the energy, mm-hmm. we see that it's more than that. Right. So it's like you say, holding that mirror up in a sense. It's extra information that comes in that helps us to piece the puzzle together so that we can now, I can now help that person to navigate their direction a little bit better. Right. Okay. And not, you know, falling into blame or shame or guilt towards another person or allowing them to treat you that way. It's about us each evolving and doing the soul work that we need to do to evolve. You know, it is that deep internal work. Soul work is, you know, looking at our dreams and the messages that they're saying. It's listening to our guides, as you said. It's hearing those voices. It's making good decisions. It's looking at different options to see what is the best decision to make. I've just begun a podcast with a fellow out of Africa, and that'll be aired every Wednesday. It's called Unprecedented. And it's kind of cool because he strictly does shadow work, and okay. I identify as a light worker. But together, the two of us really, you know, it's like you and I having these conversations. You know, we really connect, and it's about bringing those two together so that they work for you, not against you, right?
Yes.
So it's soul work is transformation. If you want to summarize it, let's summarize it.
Okay.
Soul work is transformation mm-hmm. of your very soul. And mm-hmm. what does that mean? It's all of this entire toolbox of techniques and skills and connections. You know, teaching people to connect to the other side is the best thing that we can do, because we want them to
be able to do it themselves and
to be able to do it on their own. Yeah.
Yeah. I hear you. And I've had this conversation with various people, including our dear Joe, who tells me that because I believe every human being has this ability. And if they didn't, why do we see it in young children and babies?
That's right.
Animals, we see it. And this is where I go with where you were talking about, you know, some people having a certain gift for things. I say, just as some people are natural born mathematicians or athletes or, you know, whatever it may be, some people do hang on to that gift right from birth, but there are mm-hmm. others where it can be reawakened, I believe. I really do, because I have seen the cutest videos out there. I remember the one that really stuck with me. It was a little African-American little one. She was about 18 months old, and her mom had brought her to the cemetery to visit her grandma. And her grandma, obviously, they were at her plot. And so this is a little one that doesn't know about anything else than what's in front of them, living in the now, and saying, barely able to speak, and saying, hello, Grandma. Hi, Grandma. Oh, it's okay. You give me a kiss here. And she said, I give you a kiss now. And she say, okay, bye, Grandma. I love you. Like a little child like that could not make mm-hmm. that up. Like that was pure, yeah. That was a pure experience. Now, whether you believe that or not, the mother was behind the camera. There was no cuts in the video. The mother wasn't directing this little one. Mm-hmm. She was interacting, and she's right in front of her grandmother's plot. So why can children do it? I believe we all can do it, all of us.
Well, they say that children are closer to the earth, right, when they're young. And a lot of them will have these sightings up until about five.
Yes.
But conditioning, the educational system, and I don't want to say that the educational system is not good or it's a bad thing, but you know, that's a whole nother show. But we can learn to integrate the two. I believe that, and if we were taught that from early on to integrate the two, what an amazing world this would be. I mean. Hey, never mind overpopulation, man. We'd have so many inventions and creative outside-the-box ideas going across the earth like you wouldn't believe. We could be light years ahead of where we are right now.
Meditation, taught from the day a child could focus enough to do it. I believe that. And, you know, even with working with the special education system from a parental, you know, background, it's, you know, part of what I think is a beautiful thing, and I do share this with people, is why couldn't we gear children's learning to their interests?
That's like, right.
You know what? Who wants to sit, and especially if, you know, you see so many kids nowadays with that, label, ADHD, ADD, whatever it may be. Well, if there's something interesting to any human being, doesn't matter what label you want to stick on it, it shouldn't be any label, but you gear something to their interest, they are going to be focused. They're going to be invested. You know, why not bring play into this? Or even young, like you said, where would we be now if we incorporated all of these things? And that's all I envision for the education system. I really
do. Yes, is to incorporate that. I know when I was in grade school, grade eight, the last year that I was in that, they had, I think they called it extracurricular activities, and we had a day every week for I don't know how long it was, maybe 2 months, where we got to choose an activity, and you know, we could do quilting, we could do stuff in the science room, we could, like, you just picked whatever you wanted to do, and it was so fulfilling. I felt alive, I felt happy, I, you know, my spirit and my soul was just vibrating. And that's, I mean, look at equestrian horses, you know, what they do with them, with people with disabilities and that, or brain injured.
And the horses know therapeutic.
They know. So these are, I feel like we haven't even scratched the surface to what we can do. If we could just all get on board and also realize that, like you're saying, that we can build on those strengths. We can be taught. We can be taught how to tap into our conscious energy, and we can be taught how to connect with the other side,
how to
with our guides,
yourself, how to heal yourself, how to balance your chakras, what chakras are, why we're having more and more, why it's important, balance, how to run the energy from source or God, whatever somebody's belief system is, through your upper chakras,
and then that's great.
Energy you don't need, connecting with Gaia, you want to call it the center of the earth, whatever you want to call it, grounding. That's what we're seeing, this new age term they're calling earthing. That's been around for centuries at work.
It's just a matter of people realizing it, and that all really what it comes down to is a lack of self-worth, because when a person knows who they are in the spirit, because we know that we're a spiritual being first, having a human experience, right? Mm-hmm. So once we can come to that realization and get it, then the sky's the limit. We can expand. I mean, I can't even begin to say how many times that I've healed myself of things and been really sick and not known what was going on, or gone to the doctor and got a diagnosis and said, look, I'm not putting that medication into my body, and healed myself, you know, done energy work, gone to energy workers to have them do, you know, body healing on me. Like, we can do that. I have an 11-year-old pup. She I don't know if that's the right word, but she became diabetic. That would be about almost 4 years ago now. And you know, the vet wanted me to put her down because she's like, are you gonna give her a shot every day? Well, yeah, what if someone in our family gets diabetes, do we put them down? Because no. So I worked with her, I changed her diet. She did lose her vision within about 3 or 4 months. It went quite quickly, but you know what, she's still, like, she can't see, but she has adapted, and I have never seen such a strong pup. Like, she just navigates herself around the house, and she is so brave. It's like, you know, I've done energy work on her to help her heal. Like, we have the power to heal. We absolutely do.
I have seen Theo, okay, because I belong to a group. I've had him on the show a few times, a mass group. It's called the Mastermind. And he believes when you have more than two minds together in a room focused on the same thing, that you harness the power exponentially of those minds and create a mastermind. So there's a video he sent me it was about a year or two ago, and it was in China, and there was no cuts in the video. This woman had an inoperable bladder tumor. And there were three Chinese Buddhist monks chanting in Chinese. From what I understand, the translation was, "It is done. It is done. It is done." Within 3 minutes. And people don't believe it. 3 minutes, that tumor shrunk to nothing.
Wow. Never
told me this. This is how this group kind of started. He had a friend that had a daughter, probably around our kid's age, with a diagnosis of pancreatic cancer, completely full of tumors. Mm-hmm. And she was sent home to die. She had 6 weeks left. And she worked on her diet. She worked on visualization, because people do not understand the power of the words, their thoughts, and emotions.
Well, I was just going to say that words are very powerful. And when they were saying, "It is done, it is done," they were not allowing any room for anything but the fact that it was done. It's done. It's healed. And Joe Dispenza is yes, big on yes. that. He he says people walk out of there that were blind, walk out of there seeing. It's all about tapping into the soul energy. Right.
Anita Morjani, her story, even alone, like, again, same thing. Complete. She was in the hospital just on death's doorstep. I think she even had a near death.
Jeez.
Completely gone. Well, I was going to say, this young girl had to change her diet. They taught her things like meditation, guided imagery. And then I wasn't part of the mastermind at that time, but they actually spent periods of like a couple hours, and when they were on their own as well, focusing on the same kind of thing. It is done, but healing. There wasn't room for anything else. Mm-hmm. She went to the doctors 2 months later, because she was supposed to be dead by then. Not a tumor in sight. But the doctor asked her, what did she do? He thought it was a miracle. And she started to explain. She said he walked out of the room because they didn't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Well, no, they don't. I've had experiences like that. I had the beginnings of cancer starting many years ago. And the doctor just said to me, "Oh, well, you know, go home and you know, come back in 3 months and we'll see. And if it isn't gone, then we'll operate." Well, I left that office and I was calling the homeopath stores all over the city. I found one that had the product that I could take. Mm-hmm. I took it, went back, it was gone. His jaw dropped open. Right.
You know what? Because go ahead. I was just going to add quickly that I'm from a big pharma background, unless it's not life ending or I always look for a natural alternative. But go ahead. You said because?
Well, just because they don't believe in it. Mm-hmm. A lot of them just don't believe in it because again, it's the education that they receive. Mm-hmm. They're not going to school to learn about the power of plants and homeopathy. They're learning medicine, right? They're learning medicine of a different, of a pharma nature, right? So they can't conceptualize it. I guess that's, and I don't want to say they, saying all of them, because there's probably many out there that practice both, right? That believe in holistic. But, you know, it really is, it's all about belief. That's the bottom line of it all, what we believe. And if we believe it isn't going to happen, then it won't. And if we believe it is, then it will, right? You know, it's our belief system. Our mind is a tough nut to crack sometimes, right? And so, you know, what I teach a lot of people is getting through to the mind. Because you do have to do some work on the mind, but also showing them the visualizations. Like Bernie Sagal was a thought leader in
Oh, I was just going to say her, and you did. I was
him. I use Bernie
all yeah. the time for people.
And he was a leader in people going there and shrinking tumors and healing, right? So
you know, visualization is very powerful, and there are so many different types of visualization. Mm-hmm. That
you said, like, the meditations with the different tones, like the Hertz levels. Actually,
there is just so much.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And you know, because if you put those on at night when you're going to sleep, then it's working on your mind while you're sleeping, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, they say that you can read a book while you're sleeping, that you can it'd be interesting to talk to someone like that has had experiences with that, you know, where they've played NLP, yeah. Neuro-linguistic programming.
Yeah.
They've done some of that yeah. work, right?
I just had this conversation with somebody saying, like, what more could you ask for? It's happening while you're sleeping. You're making use of never mind resting and healing your body. You're
yes.
open at that point. Why not make it something productive? Because I was teaching them about Kundalini awakening and how to
and how to activate the Kundalini, right? So that we can be be awakened to the state of consciousness, right?
Yes.
So we see how there are a lot of different techniques and tools that we can bring in, right? That we can help ourselves evolve. And I mean, even though we've been both doing this probably for a number of years, it's just so exciting to learn another tool, to learn another technique, to continue practicing it every day, because it makes our lives better. And it enriches the lives around us, because, you know, we're emanating that positivity. We're sharing hope. Because we need that. We need hope in our lives. If we don't have hope, what do we have, right? We need to hope for better and for change.
Perspective that instead of looking, and I hate this proverbial term that you hear all the time, but instead of always looking at the glass half empty, to be able to train yourself to start looking for the positive, because there's mm-hmm. always positive around you. There's always signs around you.
Yes.
Like some of the things we've talked about tonight that could have been pretty tragic things or pretty, you know, depressing, mm-hmm. downer type things. And again, we're not saying that we're so perfect, look what we've done. No, we're saying is looking at what can you find the gift in that, the lesson mm-hmm. in that, or how can you turn that around
yes.
or alchemize it into something positive?
Absolutely. Because, you know, what's really difficult for people is, you know, if they've had loss, mm-hmm. say they've lost a child, that's a horrific thing to have mm-hmm. happen. Right? I've lost pets and it's been devastating. So losing a child, you know, how could we even ask that person to say, to see the positive in it, right? It's very difficult. Loss is challenging, but it's that woundedness that keeps us blocked. It's the woundedness that it's not saying that we still don't mourn. We're still going to mourn. We're still going to grieve. We're still going to experience emotions that we're not living on this cloud of joy 24 hours a day. We're still going to have experiences that are not comfortable and that cause us, that challenge us.
A choice too, because we need to give ourselves grace. We need to give ourselves mm-hmm. time. Nobody's saying go find the joy and say, God forbid, losing a child. Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is with time, like we were talking earlier about, it never goes away. It's almost like this ringing little black worms. I watched this video and I never forgot that analogy. And with time, it's like a new, and I hate the term normal, but I don't know what else to call it, but it's a new way of finding to learn to live with the tragedy that you've experienced. Mm-hmm. But as time goes on, and life always does go on, it sounds callous, but it's true. And we have that choice. What do we do with that loss? Right?
Right.
Some people can choose to stay in that negative way of thinking, but mm-hmm. that's where a lot of good has come too, where people have chosen to say, I don't ever want to see somebody go through something like this.
That's
like,
right. Yeah.
And, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I guess we could call that transition, you know, transitioning our emotions, transitioning through our experience. And it's like you say, we,
you know, because we've been through certain things in our lives, yourself, myself included, as well as many listeners, is that we, you know, we want to give back perhaps and to help people to realize that they don't have to suffer in the same way that, that we have. We can perhaps
to you, Lovey, will you please come back again? Because I only got, we got 1 minute to tell people where to find you.
Oh, absolutely. Well, they can
way too quickly.
I wondered how are we going to have enough to talk about? We didn't have a problem at all.
Nope.
Well, they can find me at sightbeyondsight.org. So like I said, give it till tomorrow maybe.
Okay.
And don't forget to look me up because I'll have all those programs.
Okay.
But you know what? They can also find me on Facebook, Rain Dalrymple. They can just shoot me a message. And, you know, feel free to email me at sightbeyondsight222@gmail.com because, you know, I really just, I love to just do a free discovery session with people. You know, before, you know, there's, you know, it's like anything, like if you take your car into the shop, you don't know necessarily what it specifically needs. You have to have it looked at before you
right.
can have the work done, right? So hop mm-hmm. on board with me. Let's have a chat. Let's do a free discovery call so we can.
Here again, anyways, I want to thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
I want to thank Zach and actually my partner, Del, hopped on. I was reading what these two were talking.